Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Political member of the family, and means an awful lot to be here. And you know, I still want to do everything I can to help make mom and dad proud. Katie, I wouldn't be here without you. You've always believed in me, and not just when you said I do, but you believed in me in this race. Even when the president called and asked you if you wanted me to run, and you were the first one to say yes, we knew we could do this. I wouldn't be here without you.
I love a good crying politician. I love a John Boehner impression. That's good. No, seriously. I always think that it's interesting. And Jimmy Patronis, the few times I have, you know, met him, hung out with him, talked with him, seems like a pretty straightforward guy. You know, wears his heart on his sleeve, is who he is. That's always been my take with him. Got a chance to talk with him a little bit last night. I had to run off to the, he was there at the Fish House at Atlas, actually, and last night. And I had to run to the PACE Awards, the Pensacola Area Commitment to Excellence Awards down at the Hilton on the beach. And so I couldn't stay around for the, 7 o'clock when everybody got a little bit of a surprise. Talk about that in just a second. But did get to, listen to the concession speech we've got, or not concession, but the victory speech. We've got it up on our Facebook page. Kudos to Romy White, South Santa Rosa News, had posted that last night. Having that speech available, it's kind of fun to watch. And again, I love a good crying politician.
So Johnny and Theo, you did so many videos and emails. You pushed and helped to get out the vote. I know I've missed some of your games, and you haven't disowned me yet, but I love you so much. I'm gonna do this so much of this for you. This is your country. We owe it to you. We owe it to you and all of the next generation to keep this place a great place.
Brother, wife, kids, campaign manager.
Melissa Stone. Thank you for ensuring that we still are undefeated in our campaigns.
Woo!
That goes to Kurt, too. Thank you. You and your outstanding team have brought us another victory. And I say all the time, if you wanted to win, you put a woman in charge. You're more than a pro at what you do. Your family, to Katie, Theo, Johnny, and I.
Maybe we could put him on the UW Board of Trustees. 5-3. Hey, I thought it was. What was funny is while he's giving his speech, his phone is going off like every 8 seconds, which isn't you would expect. And you think, well, why doesn't he turn the phone off? John, why doesn't he turn the phone off?
Because the president might be calling.
That's right. You don't know who's going to call. And every time the phone rings, you got to check to make sure it's not somebody who you got to answer it, right? Because it's going to be a lot of people. You don't got to answer it.
Please hold but for then, the president of the United
but
States.
But right, then there's going to be like, people who you maybe need to take the call.
Rick Scott.
Yeah!
All right, you're on speakerphone. We're right in the microphone right in the middle of my acceptance speech. So go ahead and say something. No, hang on. Yeah, I'll do it again.
All right. Jimmy, congratulations. Thanks, everybody, for all your support. Jimmy's going to be a fabulous congressman. He's going to represent you.
He got called waiting during it. Did you hear it?
Oh, did it? Did it beep while waiting? Well, yeah, makes sense.
All right. I love you. I'll call you back after a while.
I love that part. See, you know, it's the unscripted line that sometimes teaches you something about somebody. And I love that little last, you know, hey, I love you. I'll call you back after a while. You know, like, I mean, it's sweet. And, you know, he's talking to the crowd, trying to keep his thoughts straight. Meanwhile, he's getting phone, you know, constantly and trying to stay on target and, you know, give a speech about what's going on in the world and, you know, how the election and, you know, I mean, he's trying to stay on target. It's hard to do.
And now, more importantly, thank you to the people of Congressional District 1. Not all districts are built the same. The panhandle is a force of its own. We're going to Washington, D.C. to battle against the far-left insanity. We're going to move some common sense into America and pull this country out of the ditch it's in. I like to say, when President Trump says we're going to make America great again, he's talking about us.
Yeah, you know, and that's the idea. I mean, you know, he is talking about the parts of America that are excited about what he's doing, maybe a little scared about what he's doing. The big question, okay, the news from last night that got everybody talking was that although Jim Petronas did win, he won by a fairly thin margin compared to history. You know, it was only, 57 to 43, you know, 44, something like that. It was not the big blowout that you might have expected, given that this is such a heavily Republican district. I guess in the end it was 56.9 to 42.2 for Gabe Alamont, and then the Stephen Brodin, the no party affiliate candidate, had 0.81% of the vote, which is, I mean, not surprising. But 57 to 42 is a big win. But it's not a big win compared to the registrations. It's not a big win compared to, you know, the numbers that have gone in this district before. So what happened? Well, it gets more interesting when you look at Escambia County. Because in case you missed the news, Jimmy Petronas lost Escambia County. It's like the first time in 30 years that a Republican didn't win Escambia County. Now, it was very close. Okay? It was very close. It was 35,800 votes for Jimmy, 38,100 votes for Gabe Alamont. So it was a margin for her of about 2,200 votes. And then the NPA pulled 500 votes here in this district. You say, well, what happened? Well, I mean, what slice of it do you want to understand? What have I been telling you this whole time? I told you two things. One was wrong, one was right.
Well, 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'll give you that.
The one that was, and the one that was wrong was like half wrong, okay? I said it the way I said it, and I should have been more specific. The half wrong, or the wrong, was low voter turnout. Typical voter turnout in a special election is like 17-18%. It's pretty low. Voter turnout yesterday was 33%. Now, 33% is nothing to brag about out of 100%. That's extraordinarily low. But 33% compared to 17%, that's actually very high. You say, well, Andrew, how is that half wrong? You said it was low and it was high. Oh, okay. It's who turned out. And in the who turned out category, in Escambia County, Democrats turned out. Democrats way overperformed their odds. 38,000 Democrats showed up to vote yesterday. Well, you can't really say it. 38,000 votes were cast for Gabe Alamont. Okay? 38,000 votes were cast. There are 66,000 Democrats in the county. Now, of course, there's also 46,000 no party affiliate. And, you know, so. But it looks like a really high turnout among Democrats, and then the NPAs went for Gabe Alamont. It's my read. Okay. I haven't gotten down to the voter statistics to try to dig into the numbers, but it seems right. And Republicans were like, oh, somebody else will vote for our guy. We don't need to show up. Out of 103,000 registered Republicans, and let's imagine, although I'm sure it's not quite true, let's imagine that the vast majority of those were, obviously, you know, votes for Petronas, and a vast majority of the votes for Petronas were Republicans, goes both ways. You know, 36,000 votes for Jimmy Petronas, and 103,000 Republicans, I mean, you're like, what, under 30%? You know, if the numbers don't quite work that way because of all the NPAs. But, you know, somewhere around 36%, I think, is if you actually do the math, if you assume all in all, like all GOP voted for Petronas and all of Petronas' votes were Republicans, okay, going both ways. So Democrats turned out, which is what I had been saying, is Democrats are going to try to win the election, try to steal the election in a conservative district because they're hoping, A, to turn out a bunch of votes for Gabe Vallemont, and B, Republicans will be bored and stay home thinking that they're going to win in a landslide. And in Escambia County, that's exactly what happened. Okay, so why did Democrats do so well? A couple of factors. The outsider factor. A lot of Republicans were not eager to vote or didn't vote, maybe, for Jim Petronas because he's, you know, viewed as an outsider because he doesn't live in district or didn't live in district, you know, and real close. He is from the Panhandle, obviously. Issues about who campaigned where. I don't think Jim did a lot of campaigning here other than buying ads. Gabe Vallemont was out campaigning hard all the time and spending a lot of money or having raised a lot of money. And then the other factor is, and typically, by the way, special elections do tend to favor the sort of the other party. Okay, it's just like midterms in Congress tend to favor the non-president party because people get tired of the president, whoever it is, typically, it's real normal. I think the biggest factor is, A, the turnout, okay, who motivated their people to get out to vote and who didn't. And then the big other factor is Trump. I mean, obviously, Jimmy Petronas is Trump's guy. You know, he loves Trump and Trump loves him. Okay, both directions. So, and endorsed by, and every ad you ever saw with Jimmy Petronas was had a Trump sticker on it, you know, somehow or other. And so, or a Trump face, or an endorsement, or a thumbs up, or a hugging, or whatever. And there's a lot of people who are freaked out about President Trump right now. And not just the ones who didn't vote for him. There's a lot of people that were kind of like, well, I'll vote for him, but I didn't want him to be the nominee. Or I did want him to be the nominee, and I did vote for him, but he is doing some things that I'm like, no, this is too much. You know, whether it's Doge or whether it's the Gulf of, you know, America stuff or whether it's.
Wait a second. You just said it correctly.
Because I said what Trump did.
I know, but I normally have to correct you. But this morning.
You mean by saying the actual name? The Gulf of Mexico?
America. See?
Anyway.
I was just going to praise you for being correct.
That is not correct. Okay. There's a lot of people who, I mean, and you know what you might even had, I'm sure some people thought, look, I voted for Trump. I'm not sure that I want him to be able to accomplish all the stuff that he's doing. And so I voted for him reluctantly over Kamala Harris. But now I'd like to vote to handcuff him a little bit, not in the literal sense, like putting him in jail, but handcuff him politically. Let's put a Democrat in Congress and try to break the majority, make it hard for Trump to do what he wants to do. I mean, all of that. I think all of that's a factor. And so you get the results you get. Now, in, you know, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, Walton, you know, red, red, red. And also worth noting, for people who don't know the demographics, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton County, it's illegal to be a Democrat. I mean, you know, just about. No, I mean, you know, the city of Pensacola is very blue. I mean, not very blue, but it's much more blue than the county. You know, the North End, the West is much more Republican. You know, it's just, that just is. So the city of Pensacola and or the sort of surrounding areas slightly west and north of the city are more blue. And so, that there are more Republicans in Escambia, or more Democrats in Escambia County than there are in any of the other counties. So you have a better chance of winning this county. And if it's the right kind of an election with the right kind of a candidate or the wrong, depending how you view it, you get the results you get. So it's not really all that surprising, even though it is a historic win for a Democrat in a red county. You know, it really wasn't all that close across the four county area. And, you know, so people who are worried and freaked out and bothered by it, I think the answer, the explanations are pretty straightforward. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. In case you did not hear the news, Val Kilmer passed away at the age of 65, pneumonia. Of course, he had survived cancer, and that had affected his voice dramatically. You know, you all saw, of course, Top Gun Maverick, where he had the very gravelly, raspy voice. But, man, I loved him so much in Tombstone. I mean, loved Real Genius. Of course, loved Top Gun, obviously. And, you know, Bad Mardigan and Willow and all the, and Top Secret. Top Secret was his first movie. Pretty big role for his first movie. Pretty good. But yeah, sad day when Val Kilmer passed away. But like I always say, we're sad because somebody made our lives better with the things that they created for us. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. New tariffs expected to take effect today against countries President Trump says are taking advantage of the U.S. He's calling it Liberation Day.
Woohoo!
And there's a Rose Garden event that's scheduled for
three o'clock
this afternoon.
Am I getting freed? Are you getting freed? No. Freed from what? I'm so confused. What does it mean?
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
Is this going to be like how tariffs are tax cuts and we're going to, like, impose a bunch of new restrictions and call it liberating? Is that like we're an upside down, topsy turvy, backwards, opposite day world? Is that what this is?
I guess so.
Okay. All right. Go on.
China has launched a surprise military exercise in the waters near Taiwan. The Chinese military was conducting live fire drills in the East China Sea and in the Taiwan Strait. The surprise drills coming just days now after Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth made his first visit to Asia and vowed to counter China's aggression in the region. And the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing arguments today on whether a state can remove Planned Parenthood clinics from its state Medicaid program. The state in question is South Carolina, where Planned Parenthood operates two clinics that provide care.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. The Pace Awards last night, always a good ceremony. It's always neat to see the community get out and celebrate people who are really doing something extraordinary in the community and, you know, serving the community in ways that deserve recognition. Advocate Leader of the Year, Cindy Bonner. She's the director of Raleigh Gulf Coast. Amazing work. Leader in Education, Dean and Dr. David Blar, Dean of the UWF Ushakundu College of Health. Business Leader, Brett Aldridge, good friend of mine. I was in Leadership Pensacola with him. He's the COO of Baptist Healthcare. Community Leader is Kristen Longley, the Director of Public Affairs for Cox Communications. And more importantly, she's involved with Impact 100, heavily involved with them. She might be the president. I forget. If I don't know, I apologize. Professional Leader, another good friend, Will Condon, President and CEO of Ascension Sacred Heart. Another Leadership Pensacola class of 2016, best class ever. So we had two. My leadership class had two winners last night. Both of the heads of the two major hospitals, two out of the three. Emerging Leader Sam Young, Chief Executive Officer of Pensacola Habitat. Spirit of Pensacola Award for Jen Grove, who had previously been with, my brain, all of a sudden. She had been with Baptist for a long time, and before that she was with FPL, Vice President of External Relations. And then Pioneer War for Dr. Marcus Paul, who was heavily – he's a dentist. He was heavily involved in the Baptist creation of the new hospital, but also really interesting story. I don't know that I'm going to get a chance to play his speech for you today, but it was really interesting to hear him talk because, I mean, he's an older black guy. So he grew up in a time when civil rights didn't take it for granted. They didn't even exist. And so he gave a really interesting speech about some of that, and it was a great. It was a really great night to think about all the people who spend so much of their time, effort, money, making this community better. And you know, really, it's always a neat thing to see. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a minute.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Republicans have a little more breathing room in the House. Winning two special elections in Florida gives them 220 seats to the Democrats' 213.
In Florida's 1st District, Republican Jimmy Patronis won the seat previously held by Matt Gaetz before his resignation. And in Florida's 6th District, Trump-backed state senator Randy Fine won the seat previously held by National Security Advisor Michael Waltz.
Fox's Brooks Singman. Susan Crawford wins the election for a seat on Wisconsin's state Supreme Court, giving liberals a 4-3 majority there. New tariffs on imports from around the world are being announced today at the White House.
President Trump had proposed reciprocal tariffs, putting the same duties on imports a country charges for American exports, but has backed off a bit, now suggesting in some cases U.S. tariffs will be kinder. In addition, tariffs are also being imposed on steel, aluminum, cars and trucks, and lumber.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72 degrees. It is a foggy start to the morning. We'll get more on that with our weather and Marion Caldwell in just a couple of minutes. Florida's new District 1 congressman is Jimmy Patronis. He got 57% of the vote in the special election last night, defeating Democrat Gay Valamont. During his victory speech, he said he'll work hard to push President Trump's plans through Congress.
And with such a slim majority, we're going to have some tough battles. It is not going to be easy. So rather than, you know, seeing a bunch of members giving fake speeches to an empty chamber, I say we let President Trump get up and running and support his agenda and fix this country.
And the seat will bolster the thin Republican majority in the U.S. House. In another special election for District 6, State Senator Randy Fine won that election for the seat vacated by Mike Waltz. Both candidates were endorsed by President Trump. Well, it's sickening. That's how Escambia County's chief deputy described an alleged dogfighting ring that was being run at a home on Seamarch Lane and Lakewood Road.
And it's also, you know, I've been asked about, well, yeah, it's dogfighting, it's bad. No, it's real bad. It's right. bad. But it's also the other crimes that go along with that. You have violent crime that goes along with that. Ilk is what I would call it.
I got you.
Because, you know, you saw the weapons. So there's a lot of cash. So there's weapons. There's violence. There's drugs. There's gambling.
And that is Escambia County Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs. He says an investigation began after animal control noticed ropes, crates, and other evidence pointing to dog fighting at the property. Hobbs said the deputies arrested 32-year-old Journey Purifoy away from that home. The SWAT team was able to enter, and when they did, they found firearms on the property and more evidence of dog fights being held inside the home. A book about training dogs for fighting, IV bags, and medical supplies. Purifoy is charged with animal cruelty. He's since been released on $15,000 bond. Now, the Coast Guard says it caught almost 100 people trying to enter the U.S. illegally. The Coast Guard 7th District announcing yesterday that it's repatriated 99 illegal aliens to Haiti. They were caught at sea last week, about 35 miles north of Haiti. A Coast Guard official said that they remain steadfast in defense of the U.S.'s maritime borders. They say illegal migration in overloaded, unsafe vessels with no safety equipment is extremely dangerous. Well, the bill meant to protect kids that use social media is moving forward in Tallahassee. State Senator Blaze Ignolia's bill passed a Senate committee yesterday. Senate Bill 868 requires social media companies to allow parents of minors to view all messages. The bill also requires social media companies to cooperate more with law enforcement in cases that involve minors. Ignolia says that the encryption used by social media companies can make it challenging for law enforcement to retrieve the proof necessary to put the bad actors behind bars. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our weather forecast with Marion Caldwell.
Your Wednesday weather features foggy conditions to start out first thing this morning, and temperatures are on the warm side in those lower 70s. Heading into the afternoon, clouds will make way for some sunshine, allowing temperatures to climb into those middle and upper 70s. It will be on the breezy side as the southeast wind will be gusting up to about 25 miles per hour throughout the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. And right now we have 71 degrees across the area. It is a foggy start to the morning today. And let's get a look at our next news at 6. We have breaking news anytime it happens. Let's get a look at our market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said President Trump's reciprocal tariffs will be announced later today and will be effective immediately. Details of Trump's plans are still unclear, but the Washington Post reported that the White House is considering tariffs of around 20% on most imports. Pittsburgh's preparations for the 2026 National Football League draft continue, with the focus now shifting to local businesses applying for subcontracting opportunities. Officials gathered in the August Wilson Center in downtown to launch the NFL Source Program, a 10-month
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA Customer Service Department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, celebrating Easter at Great Southern, Fish House, Beer Fest tickets, and Jackson's Spring Menu Rollout, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
We are honored today to be joined by our Law Enforcement Officer of the Day, Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office at the invitation of Representative Salzman. Chief Deputy Hobbs, thank you for your service and welcome to the Florida House.
All right, who does the best show prep?
Impressive, and now I'm thrown off my game. Thank you.
Chip Simmons, Sheriff, is not here today, but instead we have Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and that was really cool. I'm watching the meeting. I'm watching Alex Andrade over here, and I'm seeing Michelle Salzman over there, and I'm like, that green uniform looks familiar. That body looks familiar. That looks like Andrew Hobbs. Why is he sitting on the front row? And then she made the announcement. I'm like, oh, and I knew you were coming in today. I'm like, oh, I'm grabbing this for 100% for sure.
Yeah. There's a couple times in my life that I felt very awkward, and that was awkward. It was an amazing experience. They treated me amazing. I was able to see a lot of different things. But when you have all of these House of Representatives clapping and the, you know, everybody there's clapping, it just makes you feel odd because I don't do this job for recognition or anything like that. I just do it because it's what I've always done, and I love helping our community. And it was awkward and weird, but it was honored. I was an amazing day. It was something that I will tell my grandchildren about.
It's humbling. It's embarrassing. It's like, it almost, I mean, I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that even just the hearing of it and remembering of it, that it brings a tear because it's overwhelming, you know? And I mean, I can say this because I know you're a man of faith too. Okay. Yeah. You know, that's how we go to heaven with like cheers and applause and trumpets and welcome. And, you know, like anyway, and anyway, so people who only think the best of it anyway, just not to get off track. But, it's neat to see. And I'm really glad she did. I assume Michelle put you up for that.
She did. Yeah.
No, that's great.
She absolutely did.
It's really cool. All right. On to regular matters, since you're here to talk about all the things that are going on in the sheriff's office this week. A couple of arrests related to really awful treatment of animals. Let's start with the chronologically. I think what started was the video of the guy. I hate to describe this, but he was abusing the dog in the backyard. It came out on a real shoddy kind of camera, and it had gotten circulated and then taken down a bunch on the internet because you're not supposed to show animal cruelty, I guess, on Facebook. Somebody had sent me the link. I watched it, and thank goodness I didn't have to report it to you, and I didn't do it on the air because I wanted to wait to see how it played out. Because they had said they'd contacted state attorney's office and animal control, and I figured you guys would be soon to follow. So tell me what happened here. Tell me what you guys did, how this all worked out.
So you have to fast forward. You have to rewind into February. There was a call in reference, someone pointing a gun at someone, neighbors fighting with guns. We get there, and during that was an allegation of animal cruelty. At that time, we dealt with the gun being pointed at people.
Yeah.
We're under the impression animal control has been contacted because that's what we're being told. So we deal with the violent crime, believing animal control is going to come and deal with the other portion. We then find out later that there was some miscommunication with neighbors of who called animal control, who didn't call animal control. So the video comes up. We had already been back out there with animal control before the video got put back up. And we were working on an investigation because the suspect was not there at the time. Just because you have a video, you have to also be able to positively identify someone.
Sure.
We were able to work on it, get it done. The next day, we were able to.
And is this felony or misdemeanor?
Can
it be a felony?
Oh, you can. Depending on the level of it.
That's what I was
you
thinking.
You can have a misdemeanor or you can have a felony. Depending on the level of aggression towards the animal or the damage that's done.
And so I'm guessing that video alone may be inadequate because it's the misdemeanor rule. Like, you've got to observe it. Is that... Am I thinking about
you
this
would do
the right
a
way?
Warrant? You'd still have to do a warrant affidavit if it doesn't happen in your presence.
Got it. Okay.
So we did the warrant, got the warrant signed. We picked the suspect up, Charles Thornton, at his place of business, and then went from there. So that was that arrest there. We took care of that. That's the one that was on social media. And we had to put it on social media. People are like, well, why'd you show that arrest on social media? Well, the video had gone all over social media.
Everybody had seen the video, yeah.
And you need to let people understand that we're not going to allow that behavior. We're not going to allow you to victimize animals. We're not going to allow you to victimize innocent people or innocent animals.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And so we had to make that presence known. We had to show that if you have that behavior, we are going to hold you accountable.
Well, and you know, of course, how social media works is it goes out there to, you know, tens of thousands of people. And they have the impression, they form a belief, and then they form beliefs like, well, why didn't the sheriff's office do anything? Why isn't? And so you're just trying to follow up and hopefully reach enough overlap of that there aren't too many people who don't know about the follow, even though most people probably don't, right? Mm-hmm. They know the original outrage and that's all they see. Well, that's good work on the follow up and investigation of that. You also had a case same week, at least in terms of the arrest being announced.
Yes.
Same week for a dog fighting ring. We'll talk about that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives at 0745.
Very
zero, good. 0745. Zero. 0745.
I was about to give you kudos
on
that.
We're adapting to Trump's executive order that we go to military time, no AM, PM, one time zone for the whole U.S., American Standard Time. And what I always call you Andy, but Andrew, what do you have a preference? Do you care?
Yeah. So when I talk to people who don't really know me, they call me Andrew because that's on my social media platforms.
Sure,
but my friends call me Andy. So
aww.
Yeah,
I mean, I've known you for years as Andy, I don't think anything of it.
I go by Andy. Andrew is the name that was given to me by my father.
I gotcha.
So, but my friends call me Andy.
I really hate the name Andy, and I hate Drew.
Wow.
Except when girls, no, for me, I call it doesn't bother me, but you know, I had one really good friend who called me Drew and I allowed it. And when girls wanted to call me Andy, I was willing to endure that too. But generally speaking, just, it's a preference for me. So, and it helps keep us different.
It does.
Because otherwise everybody would confuse you for me.
There's no doubt. We look just like each other. It's crazy.
Okay. Back to the serious stuff. Really serious dogfighting ring arrest, and this is, I'm, the evidence you found to confirm it is bad. Like, the kinds of things I never think about as somebody who wouldn't do this, but what did you guys find? How did this happen?
So let's first start off a shout out to Animal Control. Well, now it's called Animal Conservancy, or they've changed their name a little bit.
Okay. I did
county,
not realize.
Yeah,
all
the
right.
County. They were out at a call, and they have a sergeant or a lieutenant who has a lot of experience. They brought her in for somewhere else, I believe. She has a lot of experience in investigating dogfighting things. She saw some things when they went out to an address on the outside that led her to believe that there might be some other activities going on. So she contacted us. Our investigation
got involved. Multiple kennels of a
certain
size.
Yeah, multiple kennels. There's
condition.
There's ropes outside. There's all these different instruments of training, that is what you would call them. And our investigations got involved, and we were able to put together a search warrant. The suspect, before Animal Control had taken all of his dogs that were outside, but we weren't sure if there was animals inside the house, also evidence of fighting inside the house. So the suspect was taken into custody away from the home. We were able to get him away from the home. We were then able to do a SWAT entry, serving the search warrant, and inside we found a rifle, handguns, IV bags, a book that talks about how to make your American Bulldog a combative dog, and other evidence inside that home that would, again, support that this person was running a dogfighting ring.
And by the way, the IV, this is the picture you had on social media. That's the one that really caught my heart, because, like, it's IV bags, like, nailed to the wall.
Yeah.
And I assume this is what they would use when the dogs get hurt, and that's to revive them or keep them alive or keep them back in fighting.
Yeah, for wound care to keep them going. It is sickening. Let's just call what it is. It's sickening. It's disheartening. And it's also, you know, I've been asked about, well, yeah, it's dogfighting. It's bad. No, it's real bad. It's bad. But it's also the other crimes that go along with that. You have violent crime that goes along with that. Ilk is what I would call it.
I got you.
Because, you know, you saw the weapons. So there's a lot of cash. So there's weapons. There's violence. There's drugs. There's gambling. There is all these other things that go along with something as sinister as dogfighting. And again, working with Animal Control, I keep calling them Animal Control because I don't know their new name real well. And we are going to make sure that those people that are involved in those type of activities are going to go to jail. And I think we showed it with a partnership with the county. How it can work really, really seamlessly.
And the thing that bothers me when I think about it is, if this person is doing it, it's because there's a demand for the entertainment. It's because there's a market for people to watch it, to bet on it. There's other people doing this. Are you going to be able to use this to find the others, to stop the network? To, you know, like, because when you go after drugs, you go after more than just the one drug dealer, right?
So, yes, we've received tips from that arrest. We've received them online. We've received them through Crime Stoppers. We've received them anonymously with people that might be involved in this. So, yes, it's an ongoing investigation. And we will follow those leads wherever they take us. And, yes, I agree. You saw how many kennels were outside. So there's clearly a lot of people involved, or a good amount of people, I would say. And you never know if those people are coming from out of state or anything else. So if you are involved in this type of behavior, you would have thought cases like Michael Vick, when Michael Vick went to prison and lost everything, you would think, you would understand, no one's too big, no one's untouchable, and if you are victimizing animals or people, you're going to go to jail. We are going to find you. Sheriff Simmons has made a promise to the people of Escambia County, and that is to courtesy, integrity, professionalism, but enforcement and engagement like we've never seen before, and we hold that every day. And it's just another example that there is nothing you are going to do forever that we don't catch you. It might take us a couple weeks. It might take us a month. It might take us a year. But we're going to find you. You are not going to be able to do illegal activities and victimize animals or people in Escambia County and get away with it.
And you know, I want you to arrest everybody who's committed a crime. I am also eager for the high-profile fear factor. I want people to be afraid to bet, to engage, to train. I want them so afraid that they're going to get caught that they just don't do it anymore. That would, you know, that's a good thing for me as well. We also had a shooting at Y and Mallory Street. I think it was on Saturday, and this was somebody got shot in the kneecap. Is that right? What happened here?
Supposedly there was a disagreement between two people, but Sadly, in that situation, our victim is being uncooperative. I know that's shocking.
Happens all the time.
All the time, yeah. You know,
or they tell a story that doesn't add up. Or whatever.
Or you know, sometimes it's you know, in those cases, I get asked a lot. Some of those cases, if they're shot in the leg, on the side of the leg, or in their own knee, sometimes they accidentally shoot themselves, but they're convicted felons, so they can't tell you they had a gun because then they'll go to jail and go to prison. So, or they're involved in illegal activity. They were fighting over drugs, or they were fighting over certain things they don't want you to know about. So, amazingly, an unknown person he's never seen before. He's not sure what type of vehicle they were driving. He's not sure what they look like. And they just found him while he was, you know, reading a Bible on the side of the road and shot him in the leg. Nuh-uh. That doesn't happen. So that's the thing, is when you hear some of these cases and you're like, well, I wonder what the sheriff's office is doing. Well, we're going to canvass the neighborhood. But if the victim is uncooperative and not telling you the truth, it really hinders the ability to find somebody. And usually a lot of these people, if you did criminal history checks, are convicted felons, drug-related issues, violent-related, and they're living a high-risk lifestyle. And doesn't mean they are less of a victim. They are. But I can only help people who want to be helped. If you lie to us and you withhold information, it makes it a little more difficult for the men and women of the sheriff's office to do their job.
The reading the Bible is a nice touch.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
Hey, we're getting close to being out of time, so just a couple of real quick hits here. You had a career fair on Thursday. Productive?
Very productive. It was amazing. We had about 65, 70 people turn out.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it was great. They get an opportunity to see the men and women of the sheriff's office, and the men and women get to see them. And so we're looking to, that's a really great program. We're going to start doing that more often.
Nice. You've got Cops, Cars, and Crawfish coming up on the 12th, I think a week from Saturday, right?
We do. The Sheriff's Foundation on the 12th, the Saturday after this one. Chief of Staff Whitney Lucas, and she's also the Chief of Staff. She's the President of the Foundation. She does a lot of stuff for the Sheriff's Office. She's been getting that ready and working with the men and women of the Sheriff's Office to get that ready. So come on out to that. It's going to be an amazing event. Come have fun, eat crawfish, and listen to music.
Where is it?
Five Flag Speedway.
Got it. Okay, Pine perfect venue. Makes sense. Female Blazer Academy starts
tonight. Yep.
Third one.
Female Blazer Academy. Absolutely. Continues to, we just had the Male Academy graduation a month ago, and now we're back. We're into the Female Blazer Academy. And again, it's just another example of what Sheriff Simmons has going on at the Sheriff's Office with the commitment to our community.
Last thing before I let you go, Andy Hobbs, the Trump executive order on changing the time zone to one standard time zone, no AM, PM, no daylight time, American Standard Time. The one part of this I'm interested in from your perspective is, do you think it'll facilitate law enforcement activities? But also, you guys use military time already, right?
We do. We do use military time.
Is it easy to adapt to?
It's something. It's
you don't like it.
I like it for work. I just have a 4 and 8 year old. It would just be a little difficult. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to teach them.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, we use it. If you look at our reports and stuff, it'll say 0100, 02. So we use military time in law enforcement. At least we do at the sheriff's office. I'm pretty sure Santa Rosa County does too.
But so, you don't tie it to like Zulu, Greenwich, or anything like that. It's just military versions of local time.
Correct. It's yeah. It's, okay. It, so and we have a 24-hour clock.
Okay.
So 0100, 0200, 0100.
Got it.
You know. So.
So you never have people ask, well, is that noon or midnight? You know, because
correct. It there's clear. It's a clear.
Clear. Right.
Noon would be noon.
12.
12.
Yeah.
And
midnight is either 2300 or zero.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. So
2355.
Yeah, 2355. So it makes it pretty easy. But I mean, I think it's a move in a direction.
And the name certainly is not surprising. American Standard Time, of course, Trump's going to make it that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Andy Hobbs, he's chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and he was the law enforcement officer of the day recently in the Tallahassee legislature. Sir, thank you as always for the time, and I appreciate it. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having us on.
Absolutely. By the way, of course, you now know, and maybe you figured it out before, that the American Standard Time from Donald Trump was my April Fool's Day prank of the day yesterday. And I will warn you in advance. Ready? You got 364 days to remember this. I will do one next year. There will absolutely be an April Fool's Day fake news prank story next year on News Radio 92.3. I'm warning you now. You'll forget. Anyway, that's the game. The one thing that always... The one part of doing those that always makes me feel a little bit conflicted is that typically you're accustomed to going to work and being more informed because you know all the stuff we talk about and explain, and that many of you went to work yesterday and like, when are we switching to American Standard Time? And people looked at you like you had, you know, three necks or something. I hope for those of you to whom that happened, you know, that you... you're laughing at it, that you enjoy, like you like the show more because of it, rather than feeling like, oh, I can't trust those guys, you know? So I hope that's the case. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. When you think about buying a car, if you do, I think the norm is to think of it as an adversarial relationship, right? The dealership is trying to take advantage of you, and you're trying to not get taken advantage of, and they're trying to keep you from getting a good deal, and you're trying to get a good deal. And when you go to buy a used car, like, all those problems get worse, right? Like, that's kind of how you think of it. Think about Frontier a little bit differently. Think about them as, instead of an adversary or as your opponent, think of them as an ally, an advisor, like, to give you car-buying guidance. I mean, really, in any capitalistic transaction, it's not that you're adversaries. You're both trying to work towards a goal where you both get ahead, where you both get something better at the end. Well, think about them as the people you ask for their advice. You know, I'm thinking about getting a car. I'm about 3 months out, 6 months out. I probably want a minivan. I probably want a compact. I probably want a sports car. I'm not too sure. You know, typically what we do is we make the decision about what to buy, and then we go try to find that car somewhere. Why not get some input from the expert before you make the decision? Ask them what resells well, what has been surprising in cars lately, what people are really liking or not liking, because they've got experience with hundreds or even thousands of different ones, and you've got experience with the few that you've driven or that you've been in with your friends, right? Like, so use their expertise as a way to start the process, and maybe not only how to finish the transaction, you know what I mean? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Good morning, 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. All of my clips will come from Val Kilmer roles today. Of course, he passed away. If you did not know, I'm sorry to break the news to you. Age of 65 from pneumonia. Of course, he'd had health issues ever since he'd overcome cancer, but still, yeah, man. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse as we're going to start to lose, you know, if you're of my age, okay, if you're a Gen X person, then, you know, we are starting and have already started to really start to, but it's going to be, there's a lot more of them to come, you know, as, and he's not that old. I mean, 65 is not that old. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That's tough to hear Val Kilmer, though.
It is.
What's your favorite Kilmer movie? Is it Tombstone?
Tombstone, honestly. Yeah. I mean, Iceman's great, but Iceman's a little one-dimensional for me, honestly.
Gotcha.
You know, compared to his role in Tombstone, you know, was amazing. You know, I mean, that's the iconic role for me.
Absolutely.
Or maybe, I mean, honestly, Real Genius is, like, the first, those are his first three big movies. Well, three of his first four movies. This was amazing to me when I saw this. His first movie was Top Secret. Second movie was some ABC After School special. And then Real Genius and Top Gun. Three out of his first four movies were massive mega hits in the culture.
Absolutely. Well, tough news today. But the Pentagon apparently is examining physical standards now for combat roles. They want to make sure women are not being given special treatment. There's a new memo that says Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered a 60-day review of physical standards to ensure female troops are not being given exceptions for physically challenging jobs. And Andrew, Cory Booker now has the record for longest Senate speech ever.
has clocked in at 25 hours.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because he beat the Strom Thurmond longest record from before that, another Democrat at the time.